from Psalm 42. For the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love. At night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that you've given to your church. These are not always comfortable words, but we pray that you would help us to find hope and comfort in the model of prayer and faithful response to you. Thank you for this time. We pray in your word. We pray in your name. Amen. Our current theme, of course, is Psalms, and we're looking at the seven different types of Psalms that we generally find in the word. Now, understand, people have sort of made these categories, and anytime you make categories to classify things, some things fit better than others. It's sort of like whether or not a Yugo is, in point of fact, a car, whether or not an El Camino is a car. My brother used to be the threat recognition officer for his unit, because my brother was an attack helicopter pilot, and he included in the threat briefing the 1979 Yugo as a light-armored attack vehicle. Just to see if they're paying attention, probably, but you never know, right? Since there's Yugos out there, there are Yugos that have, of course, outlived Yugoslavia. But, okay, categorizing things is a bit of a challenge. And we have, typically speaking, psalms that involve or majorly fit one of these seven themes. Praise, lament, thanksgiving, royal psalms, psalms of wisdom, imprecatory psalms. We'll get to that as well. I was given an outstanding one that we'll probably use as a brief example as well. And penitential psalms. And, of course, last week we looked at different kinds of songs, actually 2 weeks ago, but last time in the theme, we looked at psalms of praise, which celebrate and praise God. You understand what we mean when we say praise God and when to praise God, typically, because it means that life is going great. I will praise God because life is going great. It was looking like it was going really terrible, and all of a sudden things turned around, or we prayed and this person was healed or cured, or everything is going perfect because God is still in His heaven and my car started this morning, you know? Whatever it is, and if you don't think that's a big deal, try having your car not start this morning, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I will praise God. In fact, if you need further reason to praise God, because I'm just not feeling cause to praise God, hold your breath for a minute and 20 seconds. When you take your next breath, you'll praise God for it. Easy enough to find reasons, if you just creatively think on it, to praise God, but we should, right? And we talked about how all of creation was made in part to glorify God, right? That's what it all does as it does its thing, whether it is the cosmic things, whether it is the beautiful countryside turning green, or parrots being parrots, or raccoons being raccoons, or skunks. Well, I don't know that Skunk that sprayed Bruce was, that's why he's not here, by the way. But I don't know that Skunk was doing that to the glory of God, but it was being skunky to the glory of God, right? You know? Bunny rabbits and prairie dogs and stuff, they all praise God. It's all to the glory of God because they're functioning and doing their thing. Humanity is the one part of creation that has a choice in praising God, which brings us back to the great and important question, will you praise the Lord? Right? And of course, hopefully we remember to do this when times are good. But today, of course, we're dealing with Psalms for when times are not good. Psalms for when we are either between a rock and a hard place, because there's no addis. Now, don't confuse me here. There are songs where you're asking for help, and there is some asking for help in it. But the spirit of a lament psalm is usually, first of all, acknowledging, wow, this isn't going well, and I'm not certain that hope is warranted in this particular case, and if so, it's going to be ugly. Or there's psalms for when you're under some sort of a crushing load, maybe physically, maybe not so physically, okay? You've possibly been under this. This probably has resonated at some point or another. Or we have psalms for ordeals with few options, and they're all bad, right? This is Aaron Ralston. You know his story. Maybe yes, maybe no. Mountaineer, got a large boulder stuck on his arm. Was stuck there, finally realized he's got a couple of choices. Number one, he could die of starvation and exposure because he'd been there for a while. Or he could put a tourniquet on and amputate his own arm, but then probably die of blood loss before he could get out. Boy, those are two terrible options. And if he was a man of faith, I bet that the practice of a lament psalm would have been a helpful sort of a thing. Maybe you've not been left with those sorts of options, but you've been left with situations where, yeah, my possibilities are grim and terrible. Or else, times when there are no options at all, according to Greek myth. This is just a great example of hopelessness. Prometheus, because he stole fire for people, was sentenced to be chained up for all time to a rock, and an eagle would come and eat his liver out every morning, and every evening it would regenerate so he could have the pleasure of having his liver eaten out the next day, which is absolutely horrible to think of. And again, the man was a myth. I get that. But that is just a quintessential example of a life that seems rotten and hopeless. And yet, at the same time, the captioner does remind us, hey, every day is a fresh start. Yeah, but if it's a fresh start in my misery, I don't want to be there. And what do you do with that? See, cotton candy Christianity is going to promise you your best life now. And it's going to tell you that if you just do our system and follow our thing and give us your money, and do our system and follow our thing and give us more of your money, you can be happy, and you should be happy, and you should be bouncy, happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. And if for some reason you're not bouncy, happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise, well, it's your problem, and you really need to just let go of your problem, because if you were doing this right, you will be bouncy, happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. In contrast to this, Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. And the word there is not just trouble. I mean, what's trouble? Trouble could be odd rumblings from your stomach after eating Taco Bell. That's trouble, on the one hand. On the other hand, the other way we can translate this word is affliction. In this world you will be afflicted. That's very different than trouble. That's several degrees darker than trouble. Jesus had just been explaining that a time was going to come when it's going to be strike the shepherd and you all will run out on me and it will look horrible. And I am saying these things so that you can have peace, because at least you'll know God's in control. It's free summary translation. Take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Which on the one hand is an encouraging thing. We often want to jump to this. But we need to stare at this. We need to realize that God has overcome the world. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that trouble isn't there. It just means that God is greater than it, and so he can get us through a great, difficult time. And there are times that are greatly difficult. And mature believers have those times. And if you haven't had those times, it's not that you're not necessarily a mature believer, but you will have those times. And I think most of you all are nodding enough to know, yeah, I know where you're coming from. These psalms express sorrow, grief, or distress of some major kind, which again, most of us are pretty familiar with on some level or another, might be grief over the results of your own sin. This is not to say that you are confessing your sin at this time. This is not about repentance. Why? Because penitential psalms are about repentance. This is rather realizing that your own sin has been destructive. It's been destructive to your own heart. It's been destructive to your own mind. It may have led to destruction of your own relationships with people. Maybe people are no longer talking to you. Maybe your family's no longer talking to you. And maybe you earned it. Maybe you're feeling far away from God and you've confessed your sin and you know that He's forgiven you, or at least you believe His promise He's forgiven you, but you are just a million miles away. God, I'm feeling so far away. Might well be grief over the results of your own sins. Could also be grief or distress over what some other rotten sinner did to you. Maybe someone destroyed your relationship with them and hurt. Maybe someone betrayed you. Maybe someone humiliated you for no good reason. Is there ever a good reason to humiliate someone? I don't know. Maybe you don't know why. Maybe they just broke things off. Maybe they just decided to blow up and not speak to you and not give you any opportunity to be reconciled. And you've got this hurt that comes back. You've got this disconnect that's there. Could be grief or distress over the misery that comes from a fallen world. Because you broke your leg in six places. Because you were diagnosed with cancer and you're hoping to be healed, but the treatment makes you rotten and sick. Because people you love are not doing well. Because, yeah, it's a broken and fallen world. And who do you blame? Well, you blame the fact that it's a messy and fallen world. There is a need to voice our pain to God. If you are a Christian at all, some people somehow believe that God doesn't want to hear your bad news. That's because some of your friendships, you know, they don't want to hear your bad news. I don't think those are real friendships. These are friendly people, but they're not your friends. But we need to voice our pain, and we need to bring our pain to God. And He invites us to bring our pain to God. And sometimes we don't want to do that because, you know, I'm doing okay right now because I'm keeping one step ahead of it. I'm just denying it and it's in the background and I've stuffed it way back there. But if I take the time to look at this, it's going to hurt. And I don't want to have to look at this because it's going to hurt. But there is a difference between harm and hurt. See, because if you slip with a knife and make a big old cut in your leg, that's harm. Okay? If you break your leg, that's harm. Yeah, broken and injured legs are kind of a big deal in my frame of reference at the moment. But if you've got a leg that's got a problem, someone might take a knife and they might do something that hurts. But that's not harmful. It's painful, but it's there to help you become whole. There's a big difference. You already are harmed. When you've got that pain inside, you need to share that. You need to share that with God. Frequently, we need to share it to other people. You don't want to. But not all hurts are bad. Everything from digging out a splinter, I hate those, that you can barely see and that you really can't get to. You got to ask someone to do it. When you ask someone to do it, you know, the tweezers, it hurts more, right? I mean, I could probably cut my own finger off and it doesn't hurt nearly as much as you taking a splinter out with a pair of tweezers, because it's you doing this, right? Sometimes you got to take it to someone else. You got to voice it to someone else. You got to trust it to someone else, even though it's going to hurt. And you also have to voice it to God. He invites you to voice it to Him. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Jesus on the cross quotes one of the most profound lamenting psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, and I and am not silent. Our fathers trusted in you, and you delivered them. And the implication is, where are you? All those who see me mock me. They hurl insults. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. But future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn. Actually, Psalm 22 is profoundly parallel to the cross. Centuries before the cross, written down. Jesus, in His great suffering, for your sake and mine, used the Psalms to voice his ache and his agony. And I think that's a great example for us. There is something profound in being able to voice these words from God. The Lord, by the way, didn't send Jesus to have a good time. And by the way, I'm mostly concerned that you have a good time. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed all those places in the Bible says, by the way, in this world you will have a blast, you'll have a ball, you'll laugh. Yeah, I don't read that in the Bible. And in fact, any parent who actually just did their best to make certain their kids were perpetually happy, you know, you'd have a monster by about five. Right? God is concerned with your spiritual wholeness. He's concerned with your sanctification. He's concerned with your peace. And in a fallen world and with our fallen brokenness, that means that there's hurts he's got to work through and there's stuff he's got to take us through. And so we need these psalms in part, and we have been given these psalms so that we can have words, so that we know how to voice them. And not only that, but these are the recorded thoughts that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they're comforting, because you read through the lament psalms when you're not having a good time, you realize someone has been there, because these things will resonate. It may not be exactly the same. Someone else has been there. Someone else who walks with God has been there, and someone else apparently has been gotten through that. Laments generally include a turning to God or an address to God, usually early on. There's the voicing of a complaint, and it's not just, I'm not happy, but no, there's something wrong, right? We're talking like in the legal sense of complaint. This is the problem. And in light of that, I'm making a request. And then there's some sort of move towards a resolve. Not that the problem is resolved, but I am now resolved that I will trust God. Generally, you find these elements, maybe a few others. Again, these are categories people have made up. But we can see how this gets worked out as we look at Psalms 42 and 43. They're lament psalms. In many Masoretic manuscripts, they're actually one psalm. 43 is just a continuation of Psalm 42. And you get these repeated phrases. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. That's at the end of 43, and that's twice in 42. And similarly, you know, why have you forgotten me? You read in one of the Psalms. Why have you rejected me in one of the other Psalms? You know, why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Well, okay. It's possible these are just continuation of the same psalm, or they might be two very, very similar ones that, yeah, I wrote this on this day, and the next day I wrote this one. You know, I mean, hard to say, but both of them, I think, are particularly helpful in dealing with this sort of a thing. It's estimated, by the way, that somewhere between 30, depending upon which scholars you're reading, it may end up being how optimistic they are, because, you know, are you half empty or half full? Somewhere between 30 and 60 to 70% of the Psalms are either laments or have lament material in them. And, you know, if you think about it for a moment, my life has great moments and I rejoice in great moments, but yeah, that sounds about right. Even on the good days, I've got cause for lamenting. So Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. You might think, okay, so he's thirsty for God. This is not thirst, okay? Thirst is, yeah, you know, I could really do with being in God's presence. I, you know, kind of getting around. No, this is, I need you, God. I am dried out like a twig. I am dry like you cannot get in Duluth, Minnesota, 3 months out of the year. But you do get in the dead of winter. That kind of dry. Spiritually. My soul is thirsting for you, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with you? He is yearning to be able to come into God's presence. Now, in the Old Testament, wanting to be in God's presence, probably he's thinking about the temple, whether spiritually, metaphorically wanting to be there, or maybe he was used to going and meeting with God. When can I get to be in God's presence? Because I'm not there now, and I wish I could be. But wait a minute. God's always there. God's all around. Yeah, okay, we're not talking about the theological answer. the Psalms are not theologically that profound in many senses. It's not that they're devoid of depth, but this is dealing with what it feels like. This is dealing like with what you're experiencing, okay? God, when can I go and meet with you? Because I seem a bazillion miles away from you. My tears have been my food day and night. Literally been crying day and night? Don't know. But you've had that grief that's never gone away, right? People all day long are saying to me, where is your God? Now, there's a number of different reasons why you might encounter, where is your God? Ungodly people might say, where is your God when you're down? Because there are some people who are just mean like that. Yeah, there's no God. Don't be deluded by the fact that there is God. Because how can there be God? Because you've got pain. And if there is a good God, you wouldn't have pain. No, actually, it's more complicated than that. But there are people who will mock you a little bit and do that. Most of them are pretty mean, and most of us don't have friends like that. So, you know, I mean, you don't generally share people who are not nice like that. I'm having a hard day, because then that will invite them to do that. So you may or may not hear this that often. But you might, and the world might. But the devil is also more than ready to whisper, where is your God when you're down? Where is he? Didn't he promise? And of course, on some level, you can answer that. On some other level, it just strikes home, because I'm here and God doesn't seem to be. And where are those promises? And the devil will whisper in your ear, he's abandoned you and he doesn't really love you. He loves other people, but not you. You're the only sort of second-rate one that he sort of tolerates. Maybe he isn't really there at all. Maybe he's just some fairy tale, and you know, you were happy to have a fairy tale when you were happy, but you know, this is just hard life now. Those whispers, where is your God? You know, Christians will also ask, where is your God when you're down? They don't usually mean like there's no God. They're rather meaning, hey, come on, where is your hope? Where is your trust in God? Buck up, little camper, it'll be okay. Just smile that depression right out of you. If you've got enough faith, you can be happy through this. There's no real pain, right? Just believe. Just look up to that faith and you'll once again be bouncy, happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Ultimately, the lament psalms will move into a place of trust, but it will not be a cotton candy place of trust, and they will take the time and have the decency and maturity to do the hard work of going through the pain. And so we're left with, my tears have been my food day and night. Men are saying to me, where is your God? And yet, I remember this. I pour out my soul. I remember how I used to go with them. I was real excited. I was leading the pack. Can't wait to go into the presence of God. Let's just praise God. It's wonderful. It's great. Let's go have some great time in worship. Shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Ain't me now. I remember what it was like. I remember what it was like to run. I remember what it was like to feel good and move easy. And now my legs are broken. I've got 3 hangnails. Will I ever move again? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? This is actually a remarkable thing to do. Because here this person has stepped out of himself and is just looking at himself. Oh my soul, why are you so down? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast, therefore I will remember you, right? You know, sometimes we're lifted up by the hand of the Spirit of God. I was down, God, I prayed, you lifted me up, and I felt it, and I was just restored. Sometimes we hold on to theology instead. No, not academic theology that makes your backside go to sleep because I can't shut up. Sometimes we hold on to the promises and nature of God and the Word because we're not feeling it because of how hard it is. God has not promised us perpetually good feelings. Sometimes we hold on to the faithfulness of God in the past. I know he's gotten me through this. But it hurts right now. But it's hard right now. Why are you downcast, my soul, so disturbed? Put your hope in God, because I will yet, not now, maybe I will praise him by sheer commitment. How many other relationships do you have that are based entirely on volatile feelings? None. Why? Because feelings come and go and times are better and worse. And sometimes what holds you together is commitment. You know what? Sometimes what holds your walk together with God is commitment, realizing that He is committed to you and He is your God. And so you will yet praise Him because He is your Savior and your God. And so I will remember Him from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Oh, I'll remember you from the mountains. So is this pointing to those mountaintop experiences? No, I will remember God from these mountains, but I'd rather be on a different mountain because I'd rather be at the temple in Mount Zion. I would rather be spiritually close to God. And instead, I'm on the other end of the land from where the temple of God is. But here's why I am. So God, I will remember you here. And I will praise you here. And there's the beginning of this deep resolve. And that moves then into the idea of the stormy night and the hopeful dawn. Deep calls to deep as deep cries out to deep. That sounds so great, doesn't it? Yeah, no, let's think about our image here. Deep calls to deep and the roar of your waterfalls. Oh, waterfalls are good. I like waterfalls. Yeah, they're breaking over me constantly. Oh, not so good. They're God's great waterfalls, yeah, but they're washing over me. And what I'm primarily seeing is I'd rather not be washed over right now, hoping not to drown. Thank you very, very much. I remember God while I'm far away and everything's sweeping, holding me. But I know this. By day, the Lord directs His love, and at night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. God will get His love to me. There is this dark, stormy night right now, and it's constantly blowing over me, but there will be a dawn, and He will send His love, and I will feel that again. His song will be with me, a prayer to God. So then it turns a bit, and he reaches this resolve. I say to God, which God? The God who's abandoned me? No. To the God who is my rock and my refuge. Which means that's a statement of faith. God, I'm sheltering under you, so actually, it's not that you're not there. But why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? It still hurts. And I'm still hearing, where is your God? But God remains my rock. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. There's a lot of grit there. It's a lot of hard determination for someone who's been through hard times. And you know what? God has a way of getting us through the hard times even if we don't feel it, even if we don't see it. He's given us these psalms for that. Psalm 43 is a lot shorter. It's just asking for vindication. If you ever needed vindication, you know what I mean by vindication, right? They're all saying the wrong stuff about you, thinking the wrong stuff about you. They've taken your deeds, your words the wrong way, and you really want God to kind of clear it up or someone to clear it up, right? God, please vindicate me. Plead my cause against an ungodly group of people, nation, whatever. It seems that everyone is against me. They are thinking the wrong stuff and saying the wrong stuff. Rescue me from all of these lies. You are God, my shelter, stronghold, once again. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? We get to address to God the complaint and the request all at once. God, give me vindication, give me some encouragement. But this time, rather interestingly, he's asking for God, yeah, help them to see the truth, help them to know the truth, which is an important thing. Sometimes the best thing to do is, after one of those rough situations, God, please correct me if I'm wrong and vindicate me if I'm right and help me to leave that in your hands in the meantime. But we get the bigger request here. Send your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, literally into your presence, right? To the place where you dwell. Because when you're a billion miles away from God and everything else stinks, what's the number one thing you really, really first and foremost need? To be brought into the presence of God in your own heart. So God, bring me your light and your truth. Guide them, right? bring me back to your presence, then I'll go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight, and I will praise you with the harp. I will praise you and I will worship you again. Yeah, vindication's good. I need to be close to God. What you need is to be close to God and be brought back into that fellowship. That's a great dose of perspective in hard times. So why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him. He is my Savior and my God. And that's it. We don't get any resolution of the problem, which means you can come back to this tomorrow. And you can work this through tomorrow. And He will meet you there tomorrow. Because the Psalms of Lament, they reflect the hard work, the tears and the sweat that we as sojourners, because this isn't our home, we have in this fallen place. And they're there as encouragements. They're real enough to show us that you can give God your praise, but you can give Him your hard moments as well, and He will not reject you in your hard moments. In fact, He wants you to pour out your heart to Him in those hard moments. Modern day lament came to mind thinking about this sort of faith and what this brings about. A guy by the name of Mike Turner was a pastor, finished 3-month sabbatical, was going to go on a 60-mile hike, him and his dog. Personal retreat in the Fitzpatrick Wilderness in Wyoming. It was his Wander in Wonder tour, okay? Day 4, as he's going across a bunch of boulders, he steps onto one boulder and it starts to shift, and so immediately hops to the next boulder in front of him, and that one shifts and the one behind him shifts, and they come slamming down on his legs. They don't break his legs. They don't even really hurt his legs too much. What they unfortunately do is they perfectly clamp his legs. So he's got his pack and he's on top of two boulders and he can sort of reach down to a little bit of the snow around him, and that's it. And he's got his journal, he's got his Bible, he's got everything else in his pack, so long as he doesn't drop it, because if he drops it, it's more or less, may as well be off the surface of the earth. I had dreamed of a special time alone with God, he wrote in his journal, facing the elements, the passes, thinking about my life, the direction of the church and my family. Indeed, this has been all of those things, only magnified 100 times. Thoughts about life and God and people, risk filling my time. When I think about it this way, I believe I will survive. Smarter, wiser, more thoughtful, more aware of my limits. I do feel confident in my Christian hope. God will make a way either earthly or heavenly. My only dread is not seeing my family and being present with them in body. That's what I think about. And, you know, that's the first part of it. And journeying in there is a big deal. Oh, did I mention that he was 30 feet away from a lake? He had a rope, actually, in his water bottle. His water bottle ran out of water. He actually tied a rope around the water bottle and threw it at the lake. And the throw was short, and so he starts to reel it back in, and it got stuck. This is a bad dream. You can't make this stuff up. And long about day 4, God is with me, but I am angry with Him. Lament. What is the purpose of this ordeal? Will I ever know or continue to be puzzled or angered or feel quite abandoned by the one that I serve? This man knew the Scriptures, and this is, in many ways, this is right there. He's not quoting the Scriptures here, but he is following the pattern. God, I am mad at you. I know that you. I am here in the glory of creation, most spiritual, wonderful place everyone wants to go to, and I am here, and I have been stuck on this rock for 4 days, running low on food, out of water. He was puzzled, and he was mad, and he voiced it to God. And sometimes I think we need to voice it. Sometimes I think we need to write it down. There's something that is just more definite about writing down your complaint to God. It's a harder thing to do. But the psalmist did it. This guy did it. I think there's something to that. When it is really, really hard, pray on paper. Realize again
God won't leave you here, but he will absolutely meet you here.
And the other thing that you should also write down is what he wrote down in his journal about day 6. Fill me with peace, Lord. May the conditions not deny my love for you. I am ready to die, though missing my family, to live as Christ, to die as gain. I will trust in God, though he will slay me. Yet I will trust him. He is the way, the truth, and the light. God's big enough to take your dark moments and write your pain and write your dark moments out, but leave space underneath them for you to write where he brings you back to. Because he will. For 9 days, Mike Turner remained stuck between two boulders. After that, he died. They found his dog wandering 17 days later. The dog stayed with him apparently all that time until he died and then made its own way. They found his remains and his effects, including his journal and everything else that he found space to write on 3 weeks after he died. But he did not die alone. And not just because his dog was there. In this man's life, we see how God can carry a person through, even if it's not guaranteeing a happy ending. Except that it sort of is, because we are promised a happy ending one day. But if this is the end, God will bring you through to the end. We like happier endings than that. Beyond that, we have to look to the glorious place we go to. Because none of us is getting out of this alive, by the way. But he went to the dark place and he was brought back to the light. And he died, I honestly believe, in God's presence and peace. And long or short my days may be, may I have the grace from God to give him my dark days and the faithfulness to wait on him, trusting that he will bring me out into the light. Psalms of lament reflect the hard work and tears and sweat that we have as sojourners in this fallen place. They give us the words, they give us the model for how to meet adversity. With a willful resolve, I will trust in God. Trusting in how he will get us through if we will wait on him. Jesus went to the cross for you. He will not leave you alone. And he will bear your dark days as well. Spend some time with the people who matter most. Are you in a good place in life? Hey, praise God for that. If you're a good place in life and with God, praise him and keep rejoicing in him. Look back at your dark times. Let them color your life. Let them color your memory. Realize how dark they were and, in fact, how they were dark and painful. Remember those dark days and remember how he's brought you through, because you're going to need to be able to remember that. Are you in a darker or more painful time? Does this color how you feel towards God? It's okay if it does. Not because it's okay to hate God, but because God will take you at that point. God will meet with you at that point, and God will bring you out from that point. Be honest with him and yourself. Write down where you are and remembering who God is and what he's done. Work through to a resolve to stand by him. Spend some time in the Psalms, reading in particular the Psalms of Lament. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, life is profoundly hard and it is dark and we do not always get the happy endings that we think we want. But we get you. And thank you that you will meet with us even when we are in a rotten place. Help us to have the willingness to continue to talk with you. And thank you that you are a God who relates
who knows pain and who in your time brings us through. Lord, for those who are in dark places and hard places in particular, I pray that you would help them to turn to you and to let you carry them through and walk through the pain, that you might bring greater wholeness, or that you might at least allow us to lay down our burdens. Thank you for the gifts of laments. Bring us healing and wholeness in our hearts by them. Keep us looking to you, for we will yet praise you, and we will yet see the most glorious ending, the one you promised. We pray this now and always in your name. Amen.